From Santa Monica, California, here is That Which Is with John Roger. That Which is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Roger is the founder and spiritual advisor of MSIA, the founder and president of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and other organizations for the purpose of improving people's lives. John Roger is a best-selling author, and he has been teaching and conducting seminars for many years. This seminar is entitled, Being in Fellowship with the Lord. Right after John Roger speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about the movement.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you. Isn't the simple meaning, God loves every one of us? And some of you are a little lax on your part. So, it's time for all of us to gird up our loins and take fresh courage and know that our Lord is the Lord of love and creation, and He's with us, and we got to get with Him. That's the message. Now, everything else tonight is going to be commentary. So, let's have a lot of fun with this, because where there's joy, there's the Holy Spirit, and it's never left me. But I sometimes left that. So I also am telling this to you for me also. I want to read a Christmas carol. I had it a few days ago, and I read it, and it struck me profoundly because of the negativity and the positiveness. And it was interesting, and it's a turn on the night before Christmas. It's called The Soldier's Christmas. And with all the things that's happened since September the 11th up to the night today, the panic, the fear, the anxiety, the self-protection and the self-preservation of life and the fear of losing that, which we're going to all die anyway, I think we're just concerned not that we die, but how we go about it. It's like having some dignity, some honor, some respect, and very little pain. 'Twas the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give and to see just who in this home did live. I looked all about, a strange sight I did see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stocking by mantle, just boots filled with sand, and on the wall pictures of far distant lands. With medals and badges, awards of all kinds, a sobering thought came to my mind. For this house was different, so dark and so dreary, the home of a soldier. Now I could see clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. The face was so gentle, the room in such disorder, not how I pictured a United States soldier. Was this the hero of whom I just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? I realized the families that I saw this night owed their lives to the soldier who were willing to fight. Soon round the world the children would play, and grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. They all enjoyed freedom each month of the year because of the soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in a land far from home. The very thought brought a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees and started to cry. The soldier awakened and I heard a rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. The soldier rolled over and soon drifted to sleep. I couldn't control it. I continued to weep. I kept watching for hours, so silent and still, and we both shivered from the cold evening's chill. I didn't want to leave on that cold, dark night, this guardian of honor so willing to fight. And the soldier rolled over with a voice soft and pure, whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day. All is secure." One look at my watch and I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my friend, and to all a good night. I'm not a dramatic reader. It just comes up. You know, what's there is there, and everybody gets to see it. The bad news about it made my mascara run. Now that we've handled that, welcome all of you to this evening of joy and celebration for you, for the great celebration of Christ and through Jesus. Already took place and continually takes place minute to minute and second to second as each one of us come alive in our consciousness that we're walking with the Beloved all the time. We are all that. You know, it's hard to believe when we do some of the things we do. But something in the Bible I read once said, you're not judged for your works. We are judged for our works. Just differently than what we thought. Because somebody's always got something to say about what we do. I know one thing. Our salvation is our loving. It's the keynote to everything. It's why we stay with each other. It's how we stay with each other. It's the abiding peace that deep inside, past all of our cynicism, skepticism, doubts, and worries, there is a living God who lives in us. And how do we know that? Well, first of all, he said so. I've always been amazed that we'll come to a meeting like this to try to find the glory of God out here when he told us exactly where to find it. The kingdom of heaven is within, and he resides there, and he's there. And we got to keep our eyes open. And it's nice to go out with each other and share and have joy and happiness and just know that we care. There's a lot of trouble in the world. We're in it. What can we do? If loving is a key and it's a message and a method, then surely we've got to keep loving each other. I look at these young kids and I heard them sing. But something in me just started ringing with joy. It was like Christmas carols and Christmas bells and silver bells and joy to the world, the Lord has come. And I said, he didn't come, he's been here, I've been waiting. You've been waiting. It's time for each one of us to put our body on the line for our loved ones, for our spouses, for our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Some of you have that. It's time to put it on the line for our bosses, our employees, our co-workers. It's time to stand up and take the pitched ball. Every one of us in here have the equipment, the talent, the ability to handle what's going to come our way. Here's the bad news. We don't want it that way. We all want to be master controllers and have it come the way we want it. But have you ever noticed that when you get your way, it isn't long till you're bored with it? Then God presents a way, and we say, why did you do that? God doesn't love me. A few years ago back, there was an accident in a family that's part of what we do. And they called me up. They had to see me right away. This was an emergency. And I said, no, it isn't. There are no emergencies in God's kingdom. And they said, well, this is really, 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 very, 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 very important. And I said, I'm sure it is, or you wouldn't have called me. So I looked at my watch and I said, if you can be here in the next hour or two, I have some time. And so they showed up and they came in and they said, we can't understand why God has done this to us. And I said, what? And they started describing it. And yeah, it wasn't nice. It wasn't peaceful. It wasn't joyful. And they said, what do you think about that? And I said, well, I'm not responsible for it, so I really don't have many thoughts. And they said, yeah, but can you give us some insight to it? And I said, yeah. Have you ever had a good time? And they said, sure. I said, have you ever had love that you didn't understand why you had it and why you had it? Sure. I said, why not blame God for that also? If he's going to get the name, give him the game. If he's going to give him the game, give him all of it, both sides, all the good, all the bad. And they looked at me as if to say, you're ruining what we got going. because they had their case of negativity build up. It was a good one. Is it appropriate to say, let's go back a few thousand years and see if we can claim the honor of being one of the wise men, women, the wise ones that come face to face with the birth of a Christ in the flesh? I think so. I think you can go to the Christ inside of you that lives as you, and come to the solemnity of the occasion and the joy. You listen to the words of Scripture of people that have had awakening, Christian, Christ-like experiences. Christian in the terms of following Christ into the Spirit, because that's what it means. It doesn't mean a religious doctrine. And feel that there is life being renewed. I told a lot of people in our retreat, Grace Retreat, just recently that I'd been involved in about 17, 18 years of illness. And it was only the last month or two that I finally surmounted it. And I remember saying over a lot of times, "He wins who endures to the end." And my God, and I mean that sincerely, I was looking for the end. Every time I go to a doctor, I thought, this today will be the end. We will find it. This will be the end. And so they start seeding for me. People start seeding. It's a way of giving of your beingness by way of what you have earned in the world for a spiritual purpose. And we knew it would work, but we didn't know if we could work it. And you have to give a proportion to what the cost of what it might be. And I figured, how do people give a portion of 17 years? How much of their life, or what is it they have to give? And so we figured money would do it. That's something that's, I think it says in the Bible that money answers all things, or something to that effect. You people that are Bibleists and scholars of that, you can just do that for yourself. The rest of us, that's not the point anyway. The point of it is, I woke up one morning and the wellness was on me. And it was as though 2,000 years had gone by and I was visited with the angels of the Lord. And I thought, you know, there's a lot of times I was going to give up. I thought about it. And every time I thought about it, something would happen to get me going. So I would stop thinking about it. And out of all those experiences came all the teachings of the Spirit as I was perceiving it. And I say to you, as I said then, don't believe what's said here. If something works for you, use it. If it doesn't, have the wit to let it go and get on with its use. And its use will be its value to you, how you value it. And how you value it will be how you perceive yourself. Are you one with the Lord, or are you one with the earth? If you're with the earth, you're in a different kingdom. If you're with the Lord, you're in that kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven that touches to the earth. And it's nice to know that we want it when we want it, and we'll get it when we get it, but we can be alive and know the kingdom and the power and the glory to our own special abilities. Some of you are going to experience it in the most mighty, glorious ways. And a lot of us are going to look upon it with, wow, yeah. And others, they're going to look on it and say, wow, okay. Dismissive at the very best. Some people said, JR, can you comment on the World Trade Center situation? And I said, well, all the information isn't in yet. All I can tell you is, yeah, it wasn't nice. And sure felt like everything had been junked on us. But I went looking into it. I went looking into it metaphysically. Went looking by way of the Spirit to find out, why would this be? Is there a mystery? Is there an answer? Is there a quarrel someplace? What is it? And I looked at a lot of it just to see, is this an end time prophecy being fulfilled by way of this disaster? And I didn't get an answer to that, that it was that. So I looked more deeply and I prayed rather heavily. My prayers are not God change this or change that, because why should he? He made it and it's got to be just correct the way it is. But I asked him to give me the strength to see it and to endure it and to live through it and get on the other side of it. And he did that. And for that, boy, I was on my knees being very thankful. And then I was told by an angel, look into this place. And I looked. And in that place, I saw this world American soul, or the soul of America. And there was questions going on in the spirit. That this was happening, it was foreordained. And the soul of America, which is a combination of every one of us in the greater sense of our purpose, had combined and agreed in spirit to put ourselves on the line of life and to bring forward the living possibilities instead of the death and the destruction that would be there. For it was said in spirit that that whole area was to be destroyed. And the repercussions would be even more destructive, because the materiality would be destroyed, but then we would have to deal with our own spiritual, psychological reality and how we would do that and the difficulties we would have. But this great oversoul, in connection with those souls who chose to be part of that, entered into the great sacrifice that precedes the greater sacrifices, when we are willingly giving up to the purpose of the Lord, not knowing often what the purpose is, but somehow finding within us the ability to trust in that that appears to not have trust, to be willing to believe in that that shows no effort or sign of being believable, and bring it back to each one of us individually once again, that you were made in the image of God and that spirit, and that's where we're coming forth, and that's where we're going. To bring joy, to bring laughter, to bring joy into the world by way of our own personalities, by way of our children, by way of people we see and know. In every way, it becomes a conduit to the heart. And one of the churches, one of the predominant themes is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's a little short of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Sacred Heart of everybody. Because without that, we wouldn't recognize the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We would just call it another trick, another sleight of hand, another garish exposure of that that we would wish for and we can't have because it's not available. In a lot of the children's stories, when I was young and growing up, there was one called Wish Upon a Star. When you wish upon a star. And it seemed so phony to me. Until when I got older, I found out thoughts are real. That you could say things to people like, I love you, God bless you, peace be still. And it would start to happen. Because those people that were freeing themselves from habitual responses, called bad habits, were getting free. And we were starting to look and we were starting to question, not analyze, but question our part in the great mystery of God. And the great unfoldment of the Spirit of God. When I was younger, I remember walking around saying, you know, what's this? What's going on? Is there a God? Where's the God? What's God? What does God do that I know there's a God? And just asked all sorts of questions until I was willing to do almost anything. Just have my mind leave me alone. And it would take off and I'd go, just leave me alone. And I will censor this other part. You know, it's like blank, 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 blank. Leave me alone. And then I guess it got that I was serious. So it piled it on and made it worse. So I said inside of me, okay, so you're this world's victim, so go ahead and be it. See what happens. And nothing happened. Then out of the still voice of silence in meditation, it just said, observe God's light. So I, of course, went to Bible and started reading through scriptures. And I realized inside of me, and maybe a lot of people won't like to hear this, but I realized that these were Bibleists, not Christian. That they knew the Bible, but they didn't know the heart of each other. And they didn't know the heart of things around them that they were caretakers over. And that heart was now being revealed. It was being revealed that when we say, I love you, that is so. When we say, I worship you, we're saying we are worthy of each other, and that is so. And it's so easy to blame your fault, your fault, your fault, your fault. Well, listen, if you're there, you're part of it. So the next time you blame, look in the mirror and include that one also. And then you will find the empathy of God's spiritual law coming upon us. We will be able to hear the angel sing, hark, hark. And we will become aware. There's so much tradition wrapped up in our lives that somehow it seems that if we do it, it will be so. Habitual behaviors are not so. They're just memory without spiritual guidance. They're the response of nothingness into the nothingness. I'm really fortunate. And even when I was going through a lot of years of sickness, and I'm still cleaning it up a little bit. But it's nice to find out I can run up the stairs. When I get up here, I'm not going to fall over. I don't have to grab a hold of the chairs and hang on till all the strange stuff leaves my head. And to find out that there are people who cared, that I had health, and were willing to do what they could to see that that came about better and better. And I just said, that obligates me out of my own choice to return everything back to the people that I can. The tricks I found, the sidesteps, the shortcuts, the how to do it, the how to have it better, I'll show you, and then if you decide to do it, it's yours. And if you don't, that's fine, because it was freely given. You can freely use it or freely not use it. We've been doing this for many years now. When I started out, I was just going to do it for a few years. I was going to have 21 people in a class. Classes would go 5 to 8 weeks, depending upon the material. And I would just repeat the material. And it's now some 6,000 seminars later, and it's all different. Just think about that. 6,000 one-hour seminars means I have not been paid fairly for my time. When someone asked Jesus, let's do this and this, he said, I have to pay them from the coin I have in my purse. And so I know that I get paid out of the coin you have in your purse, and most of you have love and caring. That's been ample for me. It's been more than ample. It's been the balm of Gilead. It's been a delight. It's something where I guess I'm a little addicted, that I like people to touch me when they touch with a spirit of loving and caring. Just to think, when you pick up a baby, how careful you pick it up so that you don't give it difficulties for later on in life. Wouldn't it just be terrific that right in this moment, with the glory to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive its own King. The King of glory, of light, of sound. The Prince of Peace, who came with a sword of separating that which is not working from that which works. one who looks upon the works of the world and says, you did it to you, so now you get it. And if you don't like that, change your behavior. And we're not going to change our behavior, so we get it. Then we wail and gnash the teeth and pray to God to change. And he's not a God to change nor to repent. And he doesn't lie, and I've never seen him change his mind. And so all that happened to me was he strengthened me and made me more of a fit companion to walk with my eyes on the Lord and made me fit to be a companion with those around me so I could walk with my eyes on them and to hold them close and to hold them near. And I found out that love became real and life-giving and living, and that love was taking me where love wanted to go, and it wanted me to go where there was love. You know, and I thought that was stupid and silly and sissy. And it wasn't. It was courageous and forthright and audacious just to walk up to someone that you just meet and you hug them. You do not let the barriers of the negativity stand in the way of the spirit of promise. Memory is not what the heart wants. The heart wants nowness. It wants to be touched. Just remember that when you look at people, you're seeing God in manifestation. For he can't get out of his creation. Because he created us and he stuck with us. Let's just make it worthwhile for each other, because God already has found it worthwhile. Remember this, when he made you, he didn't use junk. Out of the very best. And when he looked at it and he's all through, he said, and it's good. But only God is good. Baruch Bishan.
John Rogers' closing words were Baruch Bishan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Roger has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book by John Roger, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513-935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Roger. Thanks for joining us.